It says, all right, there we go. Let's start over. I want my Bible to Ephesians chapter 5. This will serve as the basis for our study this morning. We're going to look in particular at verses 18 through 21. I dare say these are very familiar verses to us, and we're going to try to look at them through fresh eyes, as it were, as we think about our singing. This is now the 10th lesson in our congregational theme, this sermon series we began it back in January, where we're basing our concept of joy in the Lord. Nehemiah 8 verse 10. The joy of the Lord is your strength, your refuge. And we derive great strength from various aspects of our relationship with the Lord. And that includes when we sing spiritual songs. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Has this ever happened to you? Someone announces a number and you open in your book to find it, or you look on the screen and see the title and you inwardly groan. Oh, that song again? Think about this. If you're singing, let's say, make it a nice even number, 10 songs a week, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. We actually sing more than that, but we'll just round it off to 10. And if you were to then multiply that by, let's say, 50 Sundays a year, maybe you're sick a couple of those, and that's 50 times 10, that's 500 different songs that we're singing a year. Well, how many of you have been Christians for 10 years? That's 5,000 songs. 20 years. I mean, that number just goes up exponentially, doesn't it? How many songs have you sung in a church setting just like this throughout your lifetime? Tens of thousands for some of you. Now, I don't think you've sung 10,000 different songs. And our song leaders end up kind of caught in the middle because on the one hand, people say, oh, we're just singing the same songs over and over. And on the other hand, some of those same people will say, why are we always singing the same songs? Why are we always singing new songs that I don't know? Comes right out of their mouth, both of them. Which is it? Can't make people happy. Well, that's just human nature. I need to remind us, though, why are we singing these songs in the first place? What is the purpose of our singing? We need to look no further than Ephesians 5. Let's start reading here in verse number 18, where the Apostle Paul says, do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. And we'll stop there. There's a lot more we could say about these verses, but what I want to focus on for a few minutes this morning is why we sing these songs. What is it about these songs that are going to help us? I'm having a little bit of a rough start this morning. I left the clicker there in my seat, so I'm going to go get that. But what I want to suggest to you, first of all, as we think about our singing of these spiritual songs makes us stronger. It makes us better. And that's one of the great benefits that we derive from our singing. That's why we should enjoy it so much, because these songs that we are singing are helping us. How do they help us? Well, according to the Apostle Paul, we are singing these spiritual songs to others. It's not just for ourselves, for our own benefit. You might listen to the radio and drive down the road and enjoy a song for entertainment purposes, but that is not the primary focus of our singing. What we are doing together is singing songs that are going to help us. If you go back a couple of verses in this overall context, verses 15 through 17, this is what he says. We need to look carefully how we walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of our time. What does that have to do with our singing? He says, the days are evil. Do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. What is it that God wants for us? And then he's going to talk about singing right after this. What is the will of the Lord? I appreciate how the New Living Translation paraphrases this when it says, don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. When we are singing these spiritual songs, the words are packed with meaning. And they are intended to uplift us, to encourage us, as we also encourage one another. They are not simply for entertainment purposes, although we may very well be entertained by them. But we have a duty to edify ourselves, allow ourselves the opportunity to sing these spiritual songs that will help us become stronger. Understand what the Lord wants you to do. What is God's will for your life? Well, I know it's not, according to verse 18, getting drunk. And this serves as a foil for, instead of being filled with wine or getting drunk with wine, we are instead, in contrast to that, we are to be filled with the Spirit. How do we do that? He uses five participles to tell us how we are to be filled with the Spirit. Addressing, singing and making melody, giving thanks, and submitting. Those five descriptions are telling us how we are to be filled with the Spirit. One way is by addressing. Now I want you to notice, all of these actions are not focused on ourselves, but on others. Right off the bat, he says addressing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Those three words there together are describing the songs of the Old Testament, the book of Psalms. Spiritual songs. We're not just singing songs of popular songs, but rather spiritual songs that are going to help us and edify us. And these songs are not going to ruin our life. They're not going to hurt us. They're going to help us, especially as we address them to one another. And then he also says that we are to sing and make melody to the Lord Jesus. And we give thanks always and everything to God the Father. And then he comes back full circle and says we are to submit to one another. That's what it means to be filled with the Spirit. And the focus is not on ourselves at all. It is on others, on the Lord Jesus, on God, and again to one another. Wait a minute, I thought singing was supposed to make me strong. Well, by directing our attention outward, that's exactly what happens. This is according to God's design. Think about it. Drunkenness epitomizes selfishness. Somebody gets drunk because they want to do that to themselves. It's not going to help somebody else. It's only for selfish purposes. And that is not the will of the Lord for our life at all. Singing focuses outward. It is the antithesis of being drunk. It is being filled with the Spirit. So if you're listening to the radio and you're being entertained by the songs that you're hearing, well, that's great. And if you are singing these spiritual songs, we are rather to be edified by them. Doesn't mean that it can't be entertaining. In fact, our singing is beautiful here at Parkway, isn't it? I wish those at home could hear the singing we are privy to. Our microphone does not pick up the audience. It picks up the song leader. And I know that because I've listened to the live stream. I've also been out in the foyer, and it just does not do justice to the beautiful singing that Cody has led us in this morning. It's wonderful, isn't it? And when we are able to sing praises to God together, we are directing it toward each other. Now, having said that, I'm of course aware that we need to not just focus on others, but we need to focus on ourselves spiritually. We need to focus on ourselves physically. Paul says as much in just a few verses here in a different context. Verse 29, we nourish and cherish our own bodies, of course. But as an act of worship, we are focusing on others. And while we do that, we are deriving personal benefit from our efforts. Singing songs of encouragement, these words are going to make you better. They're going to edify you. They're going to make you stronger. Singing words of praise to Jesus, our Lord, to God, our Father, strengthens us. There's a so-called parallel of Ephesians 5, verse 19, which talks about our singing, singing these spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our heart to the Lord. It's Colossians 3, verse 16. You may have a note in your Bible that indicates You ought to go look at this verse in Colossians 3, verse 16. And it says that we are teaching and admonishing others by our singing. Instead of focusing so much on ourselves as we often do in our day-to-day living, we need to think about the community. We need to think about this congregation and how we are helping each other. And we need to appreciate that these are spiritual songs, psalms and hymns. I went and looked at trying to find out what are the popular songs of today. And the number one song in the country right now is by Justin Bieber. I've heard of him. And his song is Stay. I've never heard this. Let me read you some of the lyrics. He says, I get drunk, wake up, I'm still wasted. I thought that was kind of ironic in light of Paul saying, don't get drunk with wine. The second most popular song right now is by Lil Nas X and Jack Harlow. It's called Industry Baby, and I cannot read the words to you. I'm sorry. They are awful. We are singing spiritual songs to each other. We are here to edify one another. Are these songs going to benefit us? Absolutely. One of my favorite songs is number 732 in our books. We're going to sing a verse or two of it here in just a moment. We praise thee, O God. And one of the parts of this song that I love so much is how it will come right back to God reviving us. At the end of the next to last verse, it says, Lord, revive us again. And then the next verse starts up with, revive us again. This song epitomizes, I think, what we've been talking about thus far this morning. And Cody is going to lead us in We Praise Thee, O God, otherwise known as Revive Us Again. This is our prayer to God. Let's sing this song together.
So we praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now God above. Hallelujah, thine the glory.
You notice how that song addresses God, and it talks about and praises Jesus and the Holy Spirit, and how we focus also on each other. And this prayer this powerful prayer. Revive us. Not me. Revive us together. Our singing is meant to strengthen us. May I also suggest, secondly, this morning, that our singing comforts us. Singing is to be simply a part of the fabric of our being. As one of the closing praise psalms says, I will sing praises to my God with my dying breath. It is our privilege to sing these psalms and hymns and spiritual songs in praise to God. But there are times when our hearts are heavy and we don't feel like singing songs of praise. Let's talk about that for just a moment. There's a verse in James 5 that says if you're suffering, what you need to do is pray. And if you are cheerful, then sing praise. Many of the psalms, that word psalms means songs of praise, but a lot of the psalms aren't praises per se. They are laments. They are crying out to God and saying, where are you? Why aren't you helping me? Why aren't you taking care of me? Probably the most famous lament from the book of Psalms is Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? Does that sound like a song of praise to you? Now, it ends well, and of course, Jesus quotes that psalm, that verse, while he's hanging on the cross of Calvary. He's not singing that, he's quoting it. And what's always so ironic to me, so amazing, and I think this is on purpose, Psalm 23 comes next. My God, why have you forsaken me? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Those two psalms right next to each other. There are going to be times in our lives when we are wondering which end is up. Our world will be turned upside down and it will be unraveling for us. I want to remind you, in Acts chapter 16, that there was an apostle who had just been beaten for the terrible crime of preaching the gospel. He and his companion Silas are in Philippi. They're about to baptize the Philippian jailer in his household, as you read on in Acts 16. But while they're in the stocks, while they're in the innermost part of the prison, not guilty of anything except preaching Jesus and upsetting some folks, what do? They've been beaten. They are in stocks. They can hardly move. And what are they doing? Singing praises to God. And the prisoners were listening. That Philippian jailer was listening. What a great impression that makes on so many people. When in the midst of sorrow and difficulty, we are able to find comfort in the songs that we are singing. The laments, you need to read them. We need to grapple with them. Sometimes their brutal honesty in the face of the emotions that they are feeling, they can inspire us. And we may look at that and say, how can you say such things to God? You have forsaken me. And yet, we do that, don't we? When we feel like our world is just falling apart. We need to grapple with the issues that the Psalms raise. But we also need to find comfort in these beautiful, wonderful words. We're going to sing together number 757. It also will be on the screen. Where no one stands alone. This song, I think, very well summarizes what we've been talking about in this point. Because no one wants to stand alone. And we don't have to stand alone. You are never forsaken. The Lord has never left you. He is always there with you. And Cody is going to lead us in this beautiful song together.
Once I stood in the night with my head bowed low, in the darkness as black as could be, and my heart felt alone, and I cried, oh Lord, don't hide your I may live in a palace so tall, with great riches to call my own. But I don't know a thing in this old wide world that's worse than being alone. Oh, my hand all the way, every hour, every day, from here to the
And we could go on and on with our songs, couldn't we? You could pick out 100 that have been so comforting to you through the years. I hope that one is one of your favorites like it is mine. And I just love Cody when he leads singing. We are so blessed with some wonderful song leaders. But have you ever noticed? He's just smiling. And it's not that there's a joke or anything. It's not something funny. He's just enjoying himself. This is such a privilege for us to be able to be in this auditorium, to sing together. And very quickly, as we close this morning, I have some suggestions I would like to make, like for us to think about, and you can see them there on the screen. We'll go through them very quickly. Number one, we need to focus on the words. I hope we've emphasized that. There's a verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 where Paul says, I will sing with the Spirit and I will sing with the understanding. He says the same thing about prayers. We need to listen carefully to prayers as well, but it is so important that we focus on the words. And I appreciate our songbook sometimes will explain some difficult concepts. Here I raise my Ebenezer. Well, what does that mean? And it tells us, it helps us out by giving us a definition of that when we sing that song. We need to understand what we're singing. We need to sing with the understanding and with our mind, with our spirit as well. We also need to focus on each other. And I like the fact that what we're looking up whenever the songs are on the screen, that's helpful to us, instead of being buried in a book. That happens a lot. But we also need to remember that we're singing to each other. Remember that? Ephesians 5, 18. We are singing to God, the Lord, but we're also singing to each other. And I would love for us, if we're to sing a song that we basically all know, to not look at the screen, to not look up, but look to each other. Think about the person you're sitting right next to. You are trying to edify them. You're trying to help them be stronger and comfort them by the words that we're singing as well. May I suggest that we put a lot of effort into our singing. Sit up and sing out. It's not going to be good whenever we're slumped over. We're not looking up and out. That's something that can be of great benefit to us. When we put effort into our singing, we're going to get more out of it. I also want to suggest that we encourage the song leader. Song leaders can get their feelings hurt very easily. They're putting it all out there for you. They've picked the songs. They're leading these songs. And the least bit of harsh criticism really deflates the song leaders. That's just the way it is, because it's very emotional as they're putting out all these efforts. After services today, please say something to Cody. Let him know how much you appreciated his efforts and all the songs that he has led today. We are blessed with many capable song leaders, and we should appreciate their efforts. And finally, I want to suggest that you use your songbook as a tool for your devotionals. A lot of times we focus on the words of Scripture, and well, we should, but keep in mind that these words of songs are based on Scripture. They come from the Word of God. And sometimes in these poems, that's what they are. They're poetic words that have been set to music. They can really help us to stir our emotions and help us to see how Scripture can come alive in our hearts and in our minds. My grandfather, my mother's father, Papa, he was in the Navy, and one of his favorite songs was, "Let the Lower Lights Be Burning." And the reason why is because of the chorus. "Some poor, fainting, struggling seaman, you may rescue, you may save," all because you've got that light there on the shore. My other grandfather, my father's father, Grandpa, when he was in the throes of dementia, he was really struggling. He couldn't even remember what he ate for breakfast, that kind of a thing. And it was debilitating. It was difficult. Well, my father had set up a CD player, and there were a whole lot of a cappella church songs that he could listen to. And I tell you, he perked up because he'd been singing those all his life. He was a song leader. He was an elder in the church at Cinnabar Road in Tallahassee, where Zach claims from. And what he loved more than anything was singing songs along with the recording. And it helped him. It comforted him. "Be with me, Lord. I cannot live without you. I dare not try to take one step alone. I cannot bear the loads of life unaided. I need your strength to lean myself upon." Wouldn't that make a great devotional? Doesn't that make a great prayer? We sing that song and take comfort from it. Songs about heaven move us. One of my favorites is "The Unclouded Day." "Oh, they tell me of a home far beyond the skies. Oh, they tell me of a home far away. They tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day." My favorite verse in that song starts off this way. "Oh, they tell me he smiles on his children there, and his smile drives their sorrows all away." When I sing these songs, I think about my grandfathers. And I dare say there are some songs that you love personally, but I bet there are some songs that you sing that remind you of your friends and your family, your loved ones. And those are precious to us because we long to see them one day. "When all my labors and trials are o'er, and I am safe on the beautiful shore, just to be near the dear Lord I adore, well, through the ages, be glory for me." God is our focus. We want to be with Him. But we also miss our loved ones. "Friends will be there I have loved long ago. Joy like a river around me will flow. Yet, just a smile from my Savior I know, well, through the ages, be glory for me." Oh, that will be glory for me when by His grace I shall look on His face. That will be glory for me. You know what we're going to be doing in heaven? Singing praises to God. I hope in some small way I've been able to remind us of the joy of our singing. I also want to tell you about this. Did you know that when someone repents, when a soul returns to the Lord or becomes a child of His, there is singing in heaven? The angels are singing. As we close, I want to extend an invitation to someone who is here and has never named Jesus as Lord and Savior. You can be baptized for the remission of your sins. You can become part of this magnificent family of God. Have all your sins washed away, and we will rejoice with you. We will sing praise to God right here and right now. If as a child of God, you've wandered from the Lord, and you know that your relationship is severed, it's cut off, and you need to restore it, then we also beseech you to make your way to the front right now. Let's stand and let's sing.